Well, I think the number of bears in town this year was exceptional, probably the highest we've ever seen. The reason for that, obviously the feed in the mountains wasn't worth a darn this year. Many of their food sources were killed off by late freezes and things of that nature. So it was kind of that perfect storm. And I think we're also hitting a point now where we've had bears in town for enough years. We're into the second, third, fourth generation of bears that have become accustomed to finding human food and garbage and so forth as a regular food source. Between the two issues, it was just a very, very, very busy year with bear issues. For us, the issue becomes trying to work hand in glove with Parks and Wildlife and the community to do what we can to keep the bears happier in the high country and less likely to come down and visit us here in town. The main source for their attraction here is our waste products, and it's a matter of getting out and trying to encourage and educate and, if you have to, enforce and get people to secure their trash in such a way that it doesn't become a routine food source.
And when you say there's been a couple generations, so do you mean like 5 or 6 years now?
Yeah, I'd say we're probably going back probably 8 and 9 years now since we started having what I would call significant bear activity in town. Most of my life, we never saw a bear in town, ever. In the last 10 years, it's become pretty commonplace, and in the last 5, it's just a daily occurrence. I think our mayor put it really well last week when this was being discussed at a city council meeting, that if you don't realize that there is a significant amount of bear activity and trash involvement in Glenwood nowadays, you're trying not to know, because it's been on the radio, in the newspaper. We do door hangers, flyers. I don't know what more we can do to make people aware of it. So we're going to try and add a little bit of a little fine structure at the front end that's going to be, I think, a little more likely to get people's attention right out of the gate. And they'll get a small ticket the first time and a big one the second time, and we think that's going to cut down on the repeat violations.
Tell me a little bit more. So you guys are adding language, proposed changes to the ordinance, and then city council will decide?
That's the process. We've proposed kind of a front-end first occurrence minimal fine, something in the $50 range. If council approves it, we'll be able to issue a citation to either the property owner or the property resident on the first occurrence. Part of the problem with this issue is that we deal with a lot of rental or multifamily units where the person there may not have the control over the trash receptacles. It could be a dumpster or multi-unit type of a dumping area. And so sometimes you have to get to either the property management company and or the actual owner of the property. We think that the changes we've proposed will allow us to get to them with a little bit bigger stick, a little quicker.
And the second ticket could be several hundred dollars?
Well, we're proposing somewhere in the $300 to $500 range. And we basically put that on the approximate costs of your standard animal-resistant, wildlife-resistant trash containers. They're usually in that ballpark. Hopefully that would be enough that they'd say they'd rather go ahead and invest in the trash receptacle as opposed to making a contribution to the city funds.
And could the option be that instead of the fine going towards the city, that money could go towards purchasing a receptacle, or at that point they're past the point of no return?
I think that that's definitely an option. Both the courts and the council in the formatting of the ordinance can definitely consider. So we'd rather just see them do that sooner.
And then the third offense?
We've proposed that it'll be a summons into court. And summons into court carries both the potential of jail and up to a $1,000 fine. I don't foresee anyone in my recollection ever facing a jail term on anything like this. But I think a $1,000 fine would definitely make bear receptacles look really cheap.
And that was, summons was possible before, or now, I guess, right? But it was after like the fourth or fifth offense?
Right. You're getting into the fourth go-round of warning and citation and, you know, before you'd get to that point. We're trying to kind of speed up the whole process. And part of that will be to continue the education piece of this. And the other big piece that we really, I guess, we'll try even harder next year is to get on it at the very onset of spring. Keep an eye on it during the winter when you don't typically have the signs of it as much as far as trash being dumped and tipped, but definitely hit it first thing in the spring and really get on people about their garbage habits.
I mean, is this something where it's going to have to be a cultural change, or people are going to have to get used to, I guess, a little bit more like up in Aspen, having bear-proof containers? It's going to have to somehow become the norm.
I definitely think that that's going to need to become the much more the norm, and the keeping garbage out of sight, out of mind, and putting it in garages and sheds and things of that nature. We've literally had people call us in the last couple of weeks and say, okay, have all the bears gone to bed now so I can start putting my trash out again? I don't like it in my garage. And my thought is, well, just keep it in your garage. You know, a physical obstruction to getting at it is even better than a bear-proof container. They can call anything they want bear-proof, but I've seen some of the video of the testing they do, and those bears are pretty ingenious at getting into stuff. I had a bear across the street from my house this summer work on my neighbor's trash can for 6 hours one night before he finally got enough of a gap in the lid that he could reach in and pull the trash out.
Wow. And
yeah.
Were you waking up and hearing him every so now and then?
Yeah, we started hearing it at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and about 7 in the morning, we walked out in the driveway and stood in our driveway and watched him working on it. And pretty fascinating to watch. They're pretty clever.
What's at stake if you guys don't have this change in the ordinance, that you're not able to speed up the enforcement process?
Well, I think we'll just be status quo, and I think it leaves us more at the kind of at the mercy of nature. If the food source is better in the high country this coming spring, we're going to naturally have less bears in town anyway, is our thought process on it. The most recent studies by Parks and Wildlife show that their estimates in the past 10 years on bear population in Colorado were significantly low from what they now believe the bear population is. They believe that some of that will be reduced through attrition because of just flat not having enough food source this summer for all those bears to get fattened up to the degree they need to make it through the winter. It could be another 2-3 years before we'd see a big spike like this. But the natural conditions and the natural food sources, their availability is absolutely huge to what we encounter in town.
Is it also a safety issue, making sure that people aren't getting too close to interacting with the bears and getting hurt?
It is. We've got bears, especially, I think, where you get into these second, third, fourth generation bears that are accustomed to being in town. They don't act like bears that we would encounter in town 10 years ago. You know, they always talk about, oh, well, you don't have to worry if you have a dog, because bears don't like dogs. Typically, that's true. I watched one 2 months ago that we were trying to get cornered for Parks and Wildlife. They were going to tranquilize it and relocate it. And I watched it run up a tree because two dogs came running out of the front yard and barked at it. And then it sat up in the tree for about 2 minutes and looked down and said, wait a minute, I'm bigger than them. And it came back down and stood 10 feet from a dog and squared off at it. And the dog didn't know what to think of that. At which point the bear just calmly turned around and walked right past the edge of a soccer field where the little kids were setting up for their afternoon soccer practice.
Ooh.
That's, I think, the scary piece of it. We haven't had bear attacks or bear-human encounters that have been resulted in anyone being injured or anything like that. But I think just the fact that you have such a large animal that's starting to feel so comfortable in what for that animal should be an unfamiliar and frightening environment, they're getting more comfortable strolling our sidewalks, walking through our backyards, stepping up onto front porches. That's not a safe condition, in my opinion.
Well, Chief Wilson, thanks for taking the time to talk.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.